Hey guys, welcome to this week's story episode. And story time this week will not be read by myself. It will be read by my fiance Nami, who was on the podcast in episode 18, I believe, 16 or 18, talking about OCD with me, relationship OCD. So yeah, anyone suffering or struggling with relationship OCD right now and are looking for a success story, I would consider myself and my relationship a success story. We still have our kind of down moments, but overall I feel I am way better than where I was, and she's also struggled with relationship anxiety, and she is way better and further along than she is. So, you know, it's possible to have a healthy relationship. And if anything, I think it's made us stronger. So there's a success story if you needed one today. But yeah, so she's going to be reading it. And the reason for that is it's a story by Louise. Louise is obviously a lady, and I didn't feel it right for me as a man to read a lady's story. I don't think it would bring it to life enough for you guys. And I feel having another lady, in this case Nami, reading it, it maybe adds another element to it. So whenever there's a female story on this Wednesday edition of the podcast, if Nami's about, I will get her to record it, and I'm sure she's happy to do that the whole time I'm not annoying her. So hopefully she'll be doing all the female ones, and then I'll be doing all the male ones. But yes, so this episode is by Louise. It's called From Contamination OCD to the BBC. Enjoy.
Up until the age of 19, I was a very happy, easygoing, confident individual. On reflection, I was possibly a bit selfish and didn't think about other people as much as I should have done. This all changed suddenly towards the end of my first year at university. I noticed that I became very concerned with making sure my lights were off in my bedroom, and sometimes would make excuses from social activities so that I could go home and check they were off. At the start of the summer holidays, I returned home to spend time with my mum. She went on holiday for 2 weeks, and I would normally have been fine staying in the house on my own and working part-time. However, by the time she returned from her holiday, I was in the grips of OCD, and a couple of days later, my diagnosis was confirmed. In the 2 weeks that my mum was away, I had become convinced that I was HIV positive. I was showering for hours at a time, constantly washing my hands and arms, frequently changing my clothes throughout the day, and was hardly eating. What I did eat, I couldn't make or touch because I was afraid that I would contaminate it. My ultimate fear was that I would infect and thus kill my friends and family. With the support and encouragement of my friends and family, I returned to university for my second year. I was very lucky that I was diagnosed very quickly and was seen by my university's counselling service. My family also paid for me to receive private cognitive behavioural therapy, but I found this very hard. It wasn't until I was referred for cognitive behavioural therapy with the NHS that I really started to make a breakthrough with my OCD. I was initially apprehensive of group therapy, but it is the best thing I've ever done. Going into the group, we all introduced ourselves and met our therapists. We met weekly and challenged ourselves through exposure response prevention, ERP. With this kind of therapy, you get out of it what you put in, and I had to make sure I was doing the tasks and activities my therapists asked me to do. It was hard, of course, but it was encouraging to see the progress of other individuals in the group, which made me want to work even harder. It's nice to know that everyone else in the group also has the same worries and fears as you, although I had to be careful not to pick up other people's anxieties. After this first course of group therapy, I was very well, and my mum commented on how blasé I could be about germs and contamination, but it was not to be the end of my journey. My OCD quickly manifested itself in checking routines and behaviours. Once again, I was referred for cognitive behavioural therapy, and I had individual and group sessions. There I made great progress, and I'm very fortunate that in Leicester there is an OCD follow-up group. Meeting every couple of months, the group reminds individuals of the model of OCD and triggers and of ERP. The therapist there can keep an eye on people, and if anyone seemed that they were struggling, they could be referred for further treatment. Again, I seemed to be doing very well. By this point in my life, I was working full time. However, after I made a few mistakes at work, my OCD switched to being concerned with perfectionism in every aspect of my life. This was hugely debilitating, making even the shortest of tasks take hours, checking and rechecking, asking others how they would have done things and seeking reassurance. I became very ill and had to take time off work. It was at this point that my therapist suggested we consider acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, as my OCD had become all-encompassing. ACT uses the strategies of acceptance and mindfulness. My first task was to read Russ Harris's book, The Happiness Trap. As opposed to carrying out the tasks I was set with ERP to rid myself of anxiety, I had to learn to accept the anxiety that I was feeling, but still to live mindfully in the present, noticing and accepting my thoughts. Through exercises, reading and rereading Russ's book, and seeing my therapist weekly, I began to emerge from the dark cloud and found moments of joy in my day. I was able to restart work and began to enjoy each new day. It's now 3 years since I was ill that I couldn't work. I won't pretend it's been easy, as there have been ups and downs and a relapse following a bereavement. There have been times when I've been so anxious I've made myself physically sick, and it seems so hard to accept my thoughts and feelings, but I've got through it. I've been on medication since my first diagnosis at the age of 19, but it's through cognitive behavioural therapy that I am where I am today. I recognise that I'm very fortunate to live in Leicester, where the therapists and treatment are so good, and that I can attend an ACT follow-up group every 2 months. But the secret is to never become complacent. Even though I'm very well at the moment, I still choose to embrace my life the ACT way, living in the present and appreciating every moment that life has to offer. The trick is to keep working at it. And now, I'm now aware of the way my mind works and can sense if a thought process is spiraling out of control and take appropriate action. I still reread Russ Harris's book and do the exercises recommended. I was recently interviewed for a BBC Horizon documentary on OCD, and I was asked if I would get rid of my OCD if I could. I think my answer surprised a few people, in that I wouldn't choose to get rid of my OCD. It has shaped who I am today. My fear of accidental harm has made me more concerned about other people than I ever had been before, and I have discovered empathy. I now feel strong enough to embrace my OCD, but also live the life that I want to lead, confidently and in the knowledge that I hold it within myself not to let OCD rule my life.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that story. You can find the written version of Louise's story on the website under the OCDstories.com/podcast. That's the OCDstories.com/podcast, where you'll be able to find the show notes with all the information. And also, if you'd like to write your story for the website to help others, which I always get great feedback from the excellent stories you guys write, and it really touches people and helps people in their moment of need, and that's a beautiful thing. And if you feel you're ready to share your story and you want to do that, then I would be honoured to share it. There's more information on the OCDstories.com/share-your-story. And I'll put that link on the show notes, which again, you can find at the OCDstories.com/podcast. I will see you on Sunday's interview episode. Take care.